We pick up our Bibles at this time, turning to the book of Romans, to Romans chapter 6, familiar words of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. As we use these words as that vehicle for studying a bit of our catechism this morning, dealing with an understanding of the sacraments that have been given to us. And so we speak, obviously, in these words, primarily of baptism, but we hear and see the wonder of gospel in both sacraments, in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. But let's hear these realities then. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we pay special attention to the reading of God's word because it is that. It's the very word of God. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would be no longer enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. As far as the reading of God's holy and inspired word, we also turn to the summary of that word in our Trinity Psalter hymnal, in the maroon hymnal in front of you. Turning to Lord's Day 25. Lord's Day 25 is found on page 882 in the back pages of that hymnal. And so I will read the questions and we'll all respond together with the answer. Lord's Day 25, question 65 asks, "It is by faith alone that we share in Christ and all his benefits. Where then does that faith come from?" And we answer, "The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the holy sacraments." What are sacraments? Sacraments are visible holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. And this is God's gospel promise. He grants us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. Are both the word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and confirms by the holy sacraments that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament? 2, holy baptism and the Holy Supper. Thus far, our confession. As we turn to that word, let's ask for his help and grace in it. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as you bring us to these words, familiar words, Father, we are thankful for the way that you make clear to us what the wonder of the gospel is, and that you've given us signs, Lord, and seals, visible manifestations of that gospel, as it were, that we might see it and know it clearly and love you dearly, and Father, seek to follow you more nearly as well. And so, Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our spirit would be pleasing in your sight, that you would work salvation through the preaching of your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, maybe you've said something like this to one of your children before. "I told you what to do. Why didn't you do it?" Maybe you said it this morning. maybe this past week even. And so there is a lot of power in words. Certainly as a people who come before that pulpit each Sunday, we know that there is power in words that are spoken. We use those words to give instruction and teaching. We use words to give meaning, to speak into being our thoughts and intentions. But just because we speak something doesn't mean that it is instantly or fully understood. You may have used very understandable words, simple words, given in the perfect way and just the right way and the right tone, but people still might not get it. And so what do? Well, we become frustrated, obviously. But then we need to figure out a different way. And so you may need to give an example. You have to draw a picture or even do the thing that you're asking for so that your children know what is required of them. You see, that way they hear it and they see it. And that certainly helps to make something understood more clearly. And certainly the Catechism does that in any number of ways. The Word of God certainly in any number of ways gives us not only doctrine and teaching, but also examples. In fact, last week, the last question that we ended with, or 2 weeks ago rather, speaks the same, right? But doesn't this teaching of faith alone in Christ alone make people indifferent and wicked? No, it is impossible. And it could have stopped there, but it doesn't. It is impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. So the word was clear enough. You, as one saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, are to be holy. The word speaks that all over the place. Be holy as I am holy. Be holy in all your conduct. Walk as children of light, because that is what you are. And yet, when given the picture of that tree and that fruit, we stop and consider, right? We've seen it. We see that a branch grafted into a good tree with a good graft will bear good fruit. We hear it and we see it. We see it and we understand it. And so as we come as God's people to His Word, we've been given a good Word. That in the Word which contains the law and the gospel, all of those words that He gives to us, we have a Word that is perfect. One perfect, as we'll hear in catechism class this morning, in its sufficiency, in its necessity, in its authority, and in its clarity. And yet even then, Jesus says, I didn't teach you anything except in parables, in pictures, in illustration, in teaching. And yet He has given in His Word, authorizing and instituting two pictures, holy baptism and holy communion, so that we, through Word and sacrament, would clearly come to know salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as we give ourselves to understanding those pictures and these words in Romans 6 this morning, we hear God's Word in this theme. The Lord gives us His Word and sacraments so that He might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel. And so our Savior, who is holy, gives to us His holy word and holy sacraments so that by faith alone we'd be made holy in Him. And so as that's made clearer for us, again through word, but also through illustration and picture, we need to see what we receive in the sacraments. We receive something holy, we receive a sign, and we receive seals. Signs and seals, holy signs and seals. But we start first with that word holy. We've heard it several times this morning already, and so we need to clearly understand what is being asked about. What is holiness? What is that which is in accord with God's Word, with His character, that standard of holiness that we heard in His law this morning? And when we are brought into union with Christ, we desire to be holy in everything. Even as we, again, stated a couple weeks ago, it's impossible to desire anything else but to bear that fruit and to rejoice in what it is to be grafted in Him. And so while the questions of Lord's Day 24 are getting to the heart of the sins of those who would be considered legalists, those clinging to their works as their way of salvation, here in Lord's Day 25, these questions respond to the heart of the sins of those, and I've used that term already once this morning, antinomian, anti, against, nomos, law. They are against the law. Why would we even read this in the Word? We cast that off because Christ has done that for us. But it's an abuse of what he's saying. That's why Paul says in verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Are we to be those who continue sinning after being grafted into Jesus Christ? Well, no, we don't want to continue to do so. But we're still waging a war. We're still fighting a battle against sin and the old nature. But listen to what Paul is saying. Are we to continue in sin? Are we to live out a life of sin so that we would receive more grace? Verse 2, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? It is the biggest no way in the Scriptures. Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone away. Behold, the new has come. That because of what he has done, you have been reconciled to the Father in Jesus, and now living in Jesus, you desire to be holy, so that you would give no further reason to need to be reconciled. And again, we know that by way of the Word. But now Paul brings forward the picture of the sacrament of baptism to make it even more clear. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, again, visible sign and seal, were baptized into his death? That if we are in Jesus Christ, we believe that all of our sins have been laid on Jesus. He died for sins once for all. So if we are in Christ, it means we too have died to sin. Because he has taken our penalty upon us and gives to us his righteousness. He takes our death and he gives us life. That's what we see. Yes, we see covenant sign. We see name affixed. But we start to see a reality. And he fills that picture out for us in verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, or for the purpose of, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That water is life. We can live for a few days without food, but we need water. It's our life. And so the water of baptism makes it mindful that for us to have life, a washing of regeneration, of new life, is necessary for us to live. We bring our children to the font. Why? Because we know they must be cleansed from sin. And you, Father, through your Son, in the power of your Holy Spirit, must accomplish all that is required. And indeed, he has accomplished all that is required for that washing in the death of Christ. But for us to live, we must be raised with Jesus. This is the glory of the Father's plan of redemption. And if he is glorified in Jesus, as those who are in him, we too are to be and live for the praise of his glory. And that glory is known in what? Have you thought about it? What does God call us to after that cleansing? What does he desire to see in us in newness of life? Holiness. God's glory is seen and revealed, made manifest as we glorify him in humble obedience, in holiness. And so as we see that picture this morning of Isaac being baptized, in the beauty of what that is, what do we see? By way of the sacrament, he is set apart not just to a name, but to a life. You are to be holy, Isaac. His parents lay this before him. We commit him to the Lord, knowing by way of his promise that his sins need to be forgiven and made forever right with God. And so by way of that water, we are committing him to what? Committing him to the Lord, praying, Father, in your Son, in your time, make him holy. Make him to be found in you. And we pray those promises are for him to embrace, we pray in time, by faith. It's a fuller picture. And it is for the purpose then of being found in Christ that we may be made holy. And so that's why we bring our children, not because we're holy in ourselves, not because we're better in ourselves. No, we're in Christ. And so as we bring our children to the font, we hold on to that promise. Father, as you have made me holy through the gift of faith, may this promise be real for my children. And where does that faith come from? Where does that call to holiness in life come from? It is by faith alone that we share in Christ and all his benefits. It comes from the Holy Spirit working it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirming it by the holy sacraments. Again, a holy Savior gives a holy word and his holy sacraments so that by faith alone we would be made holy in him. That is a life of faith. And to make that clearer, even still, even then these first four verses, we recognize that the Lord gives to us signs and seals. But the first is signs. It's what we just read together in Lord's Day 25. Sacraments are visible, holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel. That baptism and the Lord's Supper are visible. We see the water, or at least we try to from way in the back. That's why we encourage everybody to come forward a bit. It's why at the table we see bread broken. It's why we see wine or juice poured out. We see it. The gospel is made to work in that way with our senses. But they are holy. The sacraments are holy, set apart by God for him and for his people, again with that intention. The gospel will be clearly understood. But why that word, sign? Why is that the one God uses? Why not picture or illustration? Well, think with me a minute about the purpose of a sign. Kids, as you're speeding down, well, no, we won't use speeding because we all obey the speed limit, but think about those signs you see on the highway as you're driving by. Speed limit 70. That sign is not a law or a promise in itself. Rather, it points us to a law and to a promise. It points us to the fact that the government has passed a law concerning the speed, and the sign points us to that law. That sign has no authority or power in itself. No sign ever jumps off the signpost and chases us down if we're going a bit too fast. And maybe that sounds ridiculous, but that's the purpose of the sign. The sign has no power in and of itself. It's simply a visible sign. And so when we think about that sacrament, there's that reality again. One made known in the Word. The sign is not effectual. That's the struggle people have with a Reformed understanding of baptism. Look at all of these things you're assuming for your children. No, we're not. Look at all of those things that you presume about your children. No, we do not. It is a sign, holy to the Lord, for clarity and for making plain to us the power of the gospel. But what is that gospel? That Christ has suffered and died and rose again. It speaks to us of the spiritual reality in the Word. The sign is not effectual. The reality is. And it's one that we desire to live out in thanks because of the grace given to us in union with Christ. And so as we look at baptism and the Lord's Supper, what we're looking to is the death of Christ. As we look to that death in these signs, we are then pointed to his promise. And that promise is written in verse 5. If your Bibles are open, look there again. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly promise be united with him in a resurrection like his. You see, we're united to Christ not because of the sign, but because of his work and promise. We are not saved because of the sign, but the reality. And what is that reality? Verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would be no longer enslaved to sin. The sign helps us to know this. I can't wash myself. I can't cleanse myself. I have to be humbled and brought to the cleansing of Jesus. The sign then points not only then to the promise of a life later, but of life now. Isaac, we want you to live now. In the reality of that promise that is for us and for our children, pointing him and pointing our children to the radical change that is to be a part of our salvation. That this mortal body, wrecked and broken and marred in sin, is that which God says, I place my sign. That even on that, I will give testimony to my work. That mortal body does matter to God. As he places that sign that we would be mindful that this body only finds life in Jesus. And when it's brought to death, it will look ahead to a time where that body will be glorified and I will have life in him, knowing a resurrection like Jesus's. The sign proclaims a reality. In Christ we have died and been set free from sin that we might live to God in Jesus. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. If you've been washed, sin is no longer your master. This is your life. Holiness is your life. That this sign then would proclaim something to you and to us and to the world, that we are not bound by sin any longer because we are bound up in being in Christ. And that's why this sign is so important this morning. And on the one hand, you say, well, we don't know if that's Isaac's reality yet. You're right. We know that the promise is for us and for our children. But it is his promise in Christ. And it's why we hold our children's baptisms before them often. Jesus is the only way to life. You must be cleansed. He must be all of your justification and all of your sanctification. You must be washed. And when you are washed, sin will no longer have dominion over you, no claim over you, because you will be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of your own. That the Lord stakes his claim upon his own. And gives a sign there that says what? You are mine. You are mine. And that too is what the sign clearly points to. A gospel promise and reality. You are mine. I will wash you. I will give you the faith to believe it. And I will give you life. And yet the sacrament does more. Not just a sign, but it seals to his people the same thing. And that's what we continue to read in conclusion from Lord's Day 25. Signs instituted by God so that by use of them he might seal that promise. And in case we missed it, and this is God's gospel promise, he grants us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, feasting on the bread of life, cleansed in the blood of Christ. There it is. And what a promise. Hear it again. Our sins are forgiven in Christ alone. It's what you saw this morning. We have eternal life by faith in Christ alone. It's what we see this morning. We have hope because of his work accomplished for us on the cross. Hope in life and death. This is what is sealed to us. But you say, why does it matter? Does it matter? Well, why do you seal something? Maybe you don't. But kids, sometimes we read, maybe you open something up, that new jar of peanut butter, and it says sealed for your protection. Okay, it's sealed. Maybe a seal of approval. States have official seals, which they use on official documents to show they're genuine. But when God uses a seal, what he seals, he claims for his own. Again, it's like God writing his name on something. Sometimes kids, we end up writing our names on everything, or maybe mom writes it on everything so we don't lose it. Maybe you watch Toy Story and Andy writes his name on Woody's foot. Why? He's mine. That's a promise. I will keep you. The Lord in baptism seals us. He writes his name on us. The Lord in his supper seals us in the reality of what Jesus Christ has accomplished as we partake as his people of that gospel. That what's sealed to us is that we belong to him, holy and set apart to him by way of that name. And so what belongs to us by way of that name is the full inheritance that can be ours through faith in Jesus. We're made part of the family. It's what the sacraments seal unto us, namely the reality of what Paul writes in verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. What is the foundation of that belief? It's Jesus, but it's that promise sealed to us. He also writes then of the assurance that is ours by way of that seal in verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. That a seal is a guarantee. His name is our guarantee. His resurrection is our guarantee. And because of his resurrection, we will live. Verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. What a promise. Because he lives, we live. He washes and promises. He seals these truths of his word to us that we may have life now and forever. Which means then if that we have been sealed as such, we're no longer our own. Right? You write your name on that paper, it's your paper. He writes his name on us. He says, you're mine. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. That name placed on us comes at a great cost, the blood of his son. And in gratitude for that name being given to us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, we then give ourselves to living out of the truth of such signs and seals. And that's the drive of how Paul concludes the section in verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Which means what? I want you to hear this very clearly. You must have the reality of what is signed and sealed. You must believe it. Because the signs are not enough. They're helpful, but they're not enough. Your having been baptized, it's not enough. That there are the broken hearts of all kinds of parents, even in this room, whose children were baptized to stray from the Lord. Being baptized is not enough. Your participating in the sacrament week by week, as you come believing that you're worthy in yourself to come, not enough either. You must believe by faith in the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. Have to. You must believe that he has washed you in his blood, given you life in his body and blood. And when you know that reality and the faith that he gives to you, you will be overwhelmed by the truth of the water of the font and the broken bread and poured out blood of the table. This is what my Savior has done for me. And in those signs, we come to know more and more as we embrace more and more fully and dearly all the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to believers, he has given us in the power of his word and Holy Spirit the ability to see and to taste and see that the Lord is good. For the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and confirms by the holy sacraments that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. That is what must be believed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. A life that will be yours only in Christ. John Murray states it well as we close. The security and permanence of this life to God are ensured by the fact that it is in Christ Jesus such life is maintained. Are you found in Jesus Christ? Is your life found only in Him? Do you believe that gospel promise? One, I pray that your grandparents and your parents and your friends keep bringing before you, trusting only in what Christ has accomplished for you in His life and death and resurrection. If you are, then go forth and live that holy life. Live it because He is holy. Live it because you have died to sin that you might live to God. And then be thankful for the signs. Thank Him for those that point us only to Him clearly. Be thankful. Father, thank you for sealing a promise to me and to my children. And then come to them, to His word and sacrament again and again, that you may continue to grow in a clear understanding of the power of the gospel and live in Him. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of that word. And Father, the man that you have called to bring that word brings a word that we pray by your Holy Spirit you make clear. And Father, by way of the confirming to us those realities in the sacraments, Father, that would be clear too. But that, Father, what would be clearly known in our lives is holiness, because you are holy and you have made us holy in your Son, and you've given us faith to believe that we would be holy before you. And so, Father, thank you that as clearly as we see water washing our heads, so surely have you washed us clean from all of our sins. As surely as we see bread broken and wine poured out, we know the reality of a body and blood given for us under the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Father, remind us of these truths often. May we praise you for them, and your love we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.